Father, thank you tonight. Thank you that we can speak to our Father in heaven. Thank you. We have a Father. Thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the church. Thank you for the gospel message. Bless our time tonight, God. Draw us near. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're with me, I think you are. Philippians chapter 1. Read one verse. There's a lot of great verses in this epistle about confidence. And I really have been thinking about this a lot lately, about having confidence in God. Confidence in His grace, His love, His word, His eternal purpose. So, oh, is that a Plunkett? Are you guys here? No, you're not. Just standing there in the spirit. Okay, wow. Philippians chapter 1, we're going to read two verses here. Being confident of this very thing. He thanks them for their fellowship in the gospel in verse 5. Being confident of this very thing, or this one thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen to that? Amen. That God who begins something is going to perform it. Don't muddle the middle. Don't mess up the middle. God begins, God performs, and God brings it to a completion. Amen? We muddle the middle, or muddy the middle, or something like that. Both, huh? Yeah, just don't do that. I don't want to do that. Even as it is meet or fit for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. There's actually two ways this translation reads, depending upon the manuscripts. Because I have you in my heart, and you have me in your heart. It says both of them. Inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my grace. Father, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Pastor Shibley, would you come up here for a minute? Isn't the Shibley family amazing? I was thinking about them when his daughter was singing. I love you. Remember years ago in Starreton Chapel?
Yes.
Do you remember that place?
I do.
Now, I want you to tell me if you remember what happened at Aigues Mortes. Do you remember Aigues Mortes in France? You were preaching and somebody stepped out of the crowd and cracked you in the jaw?
Pastor Love was preaching, right?
Was
or were
Pastor
you?
Love?
Pastor Love.
I thought it was you.
It was me. Oh,
you were
oh.
In the mime.
I was in the. Yes. I got punched in the face because Pastor Love was preaching. Mm-hmm. Monique Revito was translating. And some crazy guy went after her and went after kind of dancing half naked. And I went and I just tried to get him out of there. And then, boom, right in the face. And then I went after the guy. And Pastor Love and Pastor John Musto both grabbed me and said, don't leave it alone, leave it alone. So I was gonna get him back.
That was like one of, was that your first, no, you were in France as a missionary?
Yeah, for 4 years.
For 4 years. That was my first missions trip.
Aigues Mortes.
Aigues Mortes, okay.
Yeah, that was amazing.
No, it's great having him as a.
I love you.
Wow, great friend.
This guy's okay.
Okay. I go back to that story because in the place called Aigues Mortes, which means the city of dead waters, so I got an idea from somebody on the team that was with us that the pastor was going to ask me to speak or share, you know, in like an evangelistic outreach. So I decided that I wasn't going to do that. I was not going to do that. I was afraid, insecure, and had no confidence because I really had never spoken much before. So I went and hid behind a boat. There was this huge boat, and I hid behind the boat. But somebody found me, and they said, the pastor's calling for you, looking for you. And I was like literally shaking in my boots, very, very nervous and whatnot, you know. And what he happened to do is there was what they had was open restaurants. Remember, Pastor Shibley? They were just these massive restaurants with people sitting there, like something as big as this church, maybe double this church, and hundreds of people. And he said, stand in the middle of all four of these restaurants and just start to preach. So I stood there with Monique, remember? And I preached the message. I don't even know how this happened, but I talked about living waters, and I didn't know the name of the city was Dead Waters. So I preached from John chapter 4 and John chapter 7 about living water. You can receive living water from God. And I really believe that helped a little bit in my confidence. It really was interesting because confidence is you have an assurance, the word paitho, you have an assurance, you have a conviction, you're convinced, you're persuaded, you simply believe, you have confidence in God. And really, I think so often many things that happen in people's lives, the fears, the doubts, the insecurities, all stem from just a lack of simple confidence in God. Just really having confidence in God and being persuaded who God is in your life. And I thought that was incredible and how God began to use it. I think the first time Pastor Stephen said to me, it was at 627 State Street on a Thursday night in Springfield, Massachusetts in the early 80s, I think 1981 or 82, somewhere in there. Kathy Ryan might know more than I do about that timing. He was on the steps right near, we had two lions at the entrance. Remember the lions? We had two big lions there, and we were offered a lot of money for them. And he said to me, he looked at me, he says, God has called you to be a pastor and a preacher. And I looked him dead in the eye and I said, I used to trust your discernment. You have no discernment. I'm good with criminals, prisons, drug addicts, alcoholics, criminals, prisoners, you name it. Talking to people one-on-one, I said, you'll never get me to speak to anybody. That will never happen. And I said, so get the thought out of your mind and think that you, and Pastor was just sitting there like grinning. And I was going through this whole spiel with a guilty conscience about actually answering him like that. But I was so had such a lack of confidence and a fear of that I didn't want anybody even to mention it. Don't even mention it. And, you know, it's interesting because there was a number of times. I remember one time at the snack bar in Lenox. We were all at the snack bar. And I was eating a hot dog. And he said, I want you to share from Philippians. I said, for what? He said, talk about the Bible. And then I'm like, no. And he says, Steve Shibelli is going to say something about Philippians to everybody. And like, he put me right on the spot. I mean, I was like, you know, and I got up and I mumbled and fumbled through all kinds of ideas. And I don't even know if it came out right at all. By the way, you got to have confidence in God. Sometimes when you preach or you're teaching and you in your car riding home, you say, did anything even make any sense? Did any of that make any sense at all tonight, you know? And thank God for my wife because she always corrects me and saying, that was amazing. That was a great message. As you're just saying that because you're my wife, you know? And no, it was a great message. So this is it's an incredible problem. It's really what I believe is the foundation behind why there are so few preachers, pastors, and teachers in this world today. That people are going to easily gravitate towards doing something else because maybe they lack confidence in God. And this is what Paul is addressing here. He's addressing this to the Philippians. And it's important that they understand this because they are in a situation, and I'm sure you know this very well about the Philippian church, they were in big trouble. They were in big trouble. First of all, their apostles in prison. Number two, their pastor's dying, Epaphroditus. He's sick unto death. Number three, two women were causing a massive division in the church. Really interesting. Then they had false gospels everywhere, all around them. They were a Roman colony. The Greek mythology and mindset of the Greeks was everywhere. They called them in Philippians 3 the dogs of the concision. The legalistic Jews were at their heels, spiritually biting them everywhere they went and attacking the church. This is incredible. This was something else. And here they are. It's not a very large church. And there is great opportunity to have absolutely no confidence at all. With all these things going on, there was envy. He talked about in the epistle, envy and murmuring and strife and people contesting each other. It was a mess. Are you with me? It was a mess. And he keeps using this word, 1:6, being confident, being persuaded, being assured, believing, trusting of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it. Epitaleo is the word. He will carry it to its finish and completion until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to do it. And you know that we as Christians, at times we start and we're moving along rapidly, and all of a sudden some things can come into our lives and we find ourselves without confidence. It could be a sickness, it could be health, it could be a marriage situation, it could be the way these kids are growing up, it could be opposition at work, it could be a trial, it could be a test, it could be just about anything. And before you know it, the very confidence that we had with God in the beginning, all of a sudden we begin to like get a little bit anxious, a little bit nervous, a little bit wondering if this is really the call of God. Are you with me? Is this the call of God? And he talks about being confident. And he says it again in verse 14. I want you to be confident that my prison sentence is going to bring the gospel further. By the way, that you didn't know that our trials and tests, though they may look a certain way at a certain time, it might be for the furtherance of the gospel. Hello? Anybody here tonight? Okay, it could be for the furtherance of the gospel or the furtherance of my walk with God. Verse 25, he says it again. He talks about confidence again. Having this confidence, I know that the church is going to go further. There's going to be a furtherance. There's going to be a growth, a progress of the gospel, no matter what's going on. Chapter 2, verse 22, it says the word trust, but it's the same word again for confidence. I trust, I am confident I'm going to come to you shortly. Chapter 3, verses 3 and 4, having no confidence in the what? In the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. How easy it is to have confidence in the flesh, because maybe we've done some things for a long time, many times, years and years. It could even be involved with Christianity and church planting and maybe evangelism, maybe prayer. And we begin to develop a confidence based upon fundamental truths of what we've done, but right now I can find myself living in that and having no confidence in God for the now, right now. Are you with me? Having confidence right now. He says, don't have any confidence in the flesh. And I think sometimes about where I have had my confidence sourced in. And I can tell you, there's been times in my life and I would think like, I don't have confidence in God. I don't know what's going to happen. This last trip, I took 9 airplane flights. You think I have confidence in pilots? No, I have confidence in God keeping the plane in the air.
Up and down 18 times.
Up, down, up, down, up, down, right? And then confidence, go through immigration another 10 times. Take your belt off. Take your shoes off. I said, I'm 70. I'm going to be 72. Isn't there like a law that says you don't have to take your shoes and your belt off? They said, not in this country. I tried. I had one immigration officer. I showed him something. In my bag, I had 100 paper clips, the large ones. I said, let me show you something. And I wound 10 of them together. I said, I could cut your throat with these paper clips. He said to me, we don't have that on the watch list. Large paper clips. I said, well, you better put it on. He goes, thank you, sir.
He didn't take them either. Oh my God.
Confidence. Having confidence. When I look at Pastor Chris's father and mother, George and Carol Arm, and Pastor George, 80 years old, and I watch them riding bicycles on outreach at 80 years old. You know what that does for me? I'm young. Are you kidding me? I could ride a unicycle. Not tonight, though. I mean, can you imagine? Here's this family, father and mother, the children, and then the grandchildren. And they're all out on outreach. There's like 10 of them, or 2, 4, 7. Let's not exaggerate, Linda. Okay, no exaggeration. 7 of the Armands out on outreach. And it's incredible. And the confidence that they have. I'll be honest with you. When I first thought about Pastor Chris Armand going to Zambia to be under Pastor Ronaldo, I had great peace and confidence in God and what he was doing. When somebody told me he was going to be going from there to start a church in Malawi, I asked myself a question. I said, I don't know. Is Pastor Chris, can he plant the church? And I can honestly say it, there was a point where I didn't have the confidence in him. What a thing to say, huh? As a person working in missions. I'm just being honest with you. And boy, did he prove me wrong. Hallelujah. Boy, did he prove God right and every man a liar. I like that. Confidence in God. When I saw 170 people walk across the stage. Do you know how long that took? 170 graduates. Do you know how long that took? He said, you're going to stand up for the whole thing and shake everybody's hand. And he goes, oh, no, I'm not. I will sit at a certain point and they will shake my hand from a seated position because I'm tired and it's hot. I didn't have confidence in God to keep me up all that time, I guess. I don't know. 170 graduates walking across the stage, and he is getting all their names, and he's naming them. And there was 40 people, because of border crossings and money, 40 graduates that didn't show up. So there's actually 210 graduates from Malawi, Zambia, and Zimbabwe in one graduation. That's unbelievable. That's God. Hallelujah. That's having confidence in God. There's some people there that have confidence in God. And it's incredible. You know? I had this thing on my arm, and I was half asleep, and I felt something sting me in the arm. And I looked, and it was a spider. I said, I ought to eat you, but I won't. And I threw it away. And I just said, God, right now I have confidence in you that I'm not going to get sick. This spider is not poisonous. And I'm not going to get sleeping sickness. I'm not going to be in the hospital in 30 minutes from now. And I'm going to be okay. I trust you. And it worked. Confidence in God. Think about it. How's the finances look? Well, if I have confidence in my ability to keep a job or in my ability to do this or to do that, for things to work out correctly, if my confidence is in the flesh, if it's in people, if it's in the government, if it's in, and I had this big debate with the doctor when I was there. We had this doctor show up the last day I'm in Uganda. And he says, you know what I don't like about you Christians? You don't believe in doctors. And I said to him, especially you. I just had to give him a good jab, you know, because he was talking like, you know, we don't know what we're doing. You can't pray to God and expect God to heal. The medical profession was sent by God. And I said, yes, I agree. I know it. But I'm going to God first. And you better stop talking the way you're talking because I don't know. I'll be visiting you in the hospital. No, and he was saying this to 10 pastors. And I could see he was being used by the devil to take people's confidence away from God's ability to intervene and change somebody's health. Do we believe God could do that? Yes. How many of you think that God could really change a person's health and heal them? Healing, healing, healing. He can do it. Amen? Yes. He's done it. I remember when I had a stroke, I had no confidence. You can ask my wife. I was sitting in the house for weeks. Went out to drive the car one day and go take myself down to the plaza here. And she says, come back. You got your pajamas on. Aww. I went, oh. She goes, you're not ready. I said, oh, okay. And I don't know. I was nervous, too, about everything. You know, it just seems like everything that you do after you have a stroke, as God is healing the mind, you have no confidence. No confidence to preach, no confidence to evangelize, no confidence that you're even getting anything out of the Bible. By the way, have you ever approached the Bible and it seems like there's nothing there? Yeah. Happens to everybody. But we are evaluating it based upon our human understanding. rather than the Spirit doing things in my mind and in my heart that will be recalled later on. I have confidence in God. When I read the Bible, God is speaking to me. Amen? I have confidence when I come to church that God is going to minister to me and He's going to develop me. He's going to help me to grow. I have confidence when I pray that God hears my prayers. Even if it's silence, maybe it's no. Maybe it's later. Maybe you don't even know what you're praying about. It's okay. I'm just trying to get to know you, God, you know, in prayer. I don't know. But I have confidence in God. I visited the place, and in this place is where East Africa missions began. It was a cave. And in this cave, I mentioned him this morning, but I want to just kind of elaborate a little bit on it. A man named Alexander McKay left Scotland, 8 missionaries, and they came by boat right around the corner of Southern Africa and up to Mombasa, Kenya. On the east coast of Africa. Well, the trip killed 7 out of 8 of them. How would you like to be leading that team? Where's everybody? They're dead. Maybe this mission is not from God. Wow. He's alone. Then he somehow makes his way. By the way, they had to cut their way. They had to make a road from Mombasa to Entebbe. Then they had to build the boat to cross the lake. Are you kidding me? You go British Air.
You just arrived there, you know. And like
they had to come around Africa, which took 3 months. Then they had to build a road to get to Lake Victoria. Then they had to build the boat to cross Lake Victoria to get to their mission field. By the time they got there, he was the only one alive. A little bit insecure. Did God really call me? Have you ever gotten into a situation you wonder whether or not God called you because of what's taking place by sight? Hello? Then he gets there and King Mutesa says, "We want none of your gospel. We have prepared a cave prison for you." And in this cave, Alexander McKay taught the Bible. And he started a mission there, even against the will of King Mutesa, who was known for literally eradicating people with the sword all the time. He could kill hundreds of people in any given week. But he let McKay live in the cave. And McKay began the ministry in the cave. That cave is still there today. It's still remembered today by the Uganda Christians as the cave that McKay was in, as the cave where Christianity began. Imagine Christianity began in a what? In a cave. That's incredible. But see, McKay had confidence in the call of God. McKay had confidence in what God was doing in his life. McKay had incredible confidence. Moses needed that. Exodus 3, remember he said, "Who am I?" What did Moses have? No confidence. He had no confidence in God or who God was making him to be. Joshua was told 4 times, "Be strong and of good courage." Why do you think God said that to him? He needed it. He had no courage. He had no confidence. He had no confidence in God. Gideon, God says to him, "Go in this thy might," Judges chapter 7. He goes, "Who? Me? Me? I'm just a little boy. I'm from a little family and a little tribe, and we're the least in Israel." He had no confidence. Why did Jonah not want to go? Why did he go the other way? He lacked what? Confidence in God. Confidence in God. And God says, as you approach and you live this life on a daily basis, I want you to trust me. Simply trust me. Remember that saying we've said for years? Simple faith defeats sophisticated darkness. Are you with me? Simple faith. Having confidence in God. And we can find ourselves getting so wrapped up as Christians even, and as the Christianity that I see taking place in this world and even in the West, that we begin to think with human thinking and we lose our confidence in God. Not willing to take incredible steps of faith because we have confidence in Him. We have to calculate everything. Hello? I have a calculator. Are you a calculator? I calculate things too. Calculate everything. I said to my wife, "We're going to Uganda." We're going to Ghana. She goes, "Where's that?" I said, "West Africa." She says, "Really? Did God call you?" I said, "Yeah." She says, "Let's go." And we just moved there. 8 hockey bags, the big ones. And she ain't carrying one. You know who's dragging all those hockey bags. And we get there, we go to the satellite hotel in Community 9. We stay there for 42 days in the satellite hotel. And she's cooking with charcoal, spaghetti every day. And rice the other day, spaghetti and rice diet. And we kind of, sometimes we would look at each other and I would think to myself, is this really God? Is this really God? It was like when we went to Ethiopia. We had this amazing mission sent from Baltimore, going to Ethiopia. We get to Ethiopia. We rented a house. House had no water, no lights, no doors, no windows. She said to me, good job. Welcome. This is amazing. You know, you can lose your confidence, especially when your husband's supposed to be like a missions person, supposed to know what he's doing. And she realized he doesn't know what he's doing. No idea what he's doing. And she was right. I had no idea because I went from Ethiopia and I landed in another country, and that's where we began. Having confidence in God. God told me, go to this YMCA and start a Bible study by evangelizing every day for 30 days and watch what happens. And in 30 days, there were 40 people in the church. In the YMCA, remember that room? It was a kitchen, right? Pastor Eugene was there. We had church in a kitchen. We have to clean the kitchen, not me, but they cleaned the kitchen. Every time we had a service, there was ants and bugs and food everywhere. And we cleaned the kitchen, and then we had church, right? And remember that loud Pentecostal church that was across the hall from us that you couldn't even think it was so loud? And I thought to myself, what am I doing in this country? Is this really God? Today, there's 53 churches in Uganda. 53 churches in Uganda. Not because of people, because God and having confidence in God. He will take, I don't care who you are, what kind of mindset you have. He just says, I want you to trust me. I want you to have confidence in me. Isaiah chapter 6, you say you're unclean and you're undone, but your eyes have seen the King. Have confidence in me. Jeremiah chapter 1, you say I'm a child. Say not I'm a child. Because I'm going to call you, I'm going to use you, I'm going to ordain you, I'm going to set you to be a man who will change a nation. Have confidence in God. Are you with me? And the devil is always trying to rob our what? Confidence in God, our trust in God. Ha, come on. You got to be practical. You got to be practical. What do you mean? What do you mean there's no more facility in Massachusetts? Where are you going? Baltimore. What's there? Who knows? All we know is we can have what? Confidence in God. And God is just waiting for people to really say yes and grab a hold of confidence in God and being confident of this very thing. He began a good work. I don't know. The way these kids are going, put your kids in God's hands. He loves them more than you do. Hello? I don't hear too many amens on that. You say, oh yeah, that sounds great, but I'm keeping my kids in my hand and I'm going to make the decisions regarding their lives. No, have confidence in God. Trust God. Leave it to God. Give it to God. Hey, Acts 27, he's in a boat. Captain, owner of the boat, the captain, the centurion, 100 soldiers, 276 prisoners, Luke and Aristarchus, everybody's there and everybody's like ready to die. And Paul says, excuse me. I'd like to talk to you 276 people in my congregation. I would like to tell you that an angel of God spoke to me today, and I believe God, it will be exactly as he told me. 27:25 of the book of Acts. Paul, this little 5'7" Jewish guy, stands up with a squeaky voice, and he changes the tide of everything. One man, one woman having confidence in God. Mary Slessor, 52 years in Nigeria. Confidence in God. And here we are sitting here, and we are people just like them. There's young people here. And what can happen is if Satan robs our confidence, we begin to put our confidence in the world and go the way the world would have us to go when God's called us to be his amazing ambassadors. And whatever we do, I want to have confidence in God. When I was at the graduation in Uganda, the prime minister of the country was there. And the ambassador to the United States, the Ugandan ambassador to the United States, sitting next to me, actually on either side of me. It was awesome. They said, "We remember last year's message. You think you can top that one?" I goes, "You bet. You just watch." Confidence in God. So I get up and I preach the message from Titus 1:9, holding fast the faithful word that you've been taught. I hit every error in 45 minutes that you could ever imagine. Every error. I went after everybody's jugular vein. I don't care. There was about 30 churches there. Doesn't matter to me. I just know what God told me to say. All right? So he gets up after me, the prime minister of the country. He goes, "I got nothing to say. I had a speech prepared, but after that message, I'm just going to have us repeat what he said." And he just starts repeating the words I was saying. He goes, "What a message that was." I'm looking at him like, "My God, this is like incredible." I didn't have any confidence that he would get that. I had absolutely no confidence he was going to get that at all. And he was amazing. Had a great time, and he got up and he said, "If any Greater Grace Church in this country has any problem, you come to my office. I'll take care of the problem. Any enemy, any..." I said, "Oh boy, let me write this one down right now." Because we're always in trouble. We're always in trouble, you know. I've been deported so many times, I don't even want to mention it. Confidence in God. As a ministry, we have what? Confidence in God. That we've got nations. We're in 75 countries with 714 churches. And I say, let's be in 100 countries with 1,000 churches in a few years. I know. How can we do that? How are we going to do that? You know how much money that's going to take? Shut up. I'm sick of that. You are thinking like a natural person. Have confidence in God. Hallelujah. Have confidence in God. He can take 11 Galileans who had no education and no money. And that's why we're sitting here tonight. Because those 11 Galileans believed God. They trusted in God. They had confidence in God. Wives, listen, build your husband up in having confidence in God. Every time he wants to take a step of faith, don't say, what are we going to do if? Or forget the ifs and how are we going to's. How are we going to in the ifs? Let's trust God, amen? Let's trust God for finances. Let's trust God for missions. Let's trust God. We're having every Friday night now, and I'm going to be there when I'm in the country. Every Friday night after my 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock class on Titus, and then the summer class we're going to have all summer long on Fridays, we're going to have a prayer meeting from 8 to 10 o'clock. You can come for an hour, come for half an hour. Right here, Pastor Atul heading it up. And we're going to have confidence that God is going to move because of the prayers Friday night. Prayers. Are you listening to me? What else are you going to do? Go to some stupid movie?
Spend $100 to eat something that's worth about three?
Going out to dinner. I'm sorry. Okay. I'll take. I know, Lynn. Easy. She's going to take it easy. You're going over the edge right now. Well, that's what I find. That's what happens at restaurants. You spend like $100 and you eat something that's worth about five. Or seven, maybe 10. Okay, I'll give it a break, whatever. But no, if you enjoy going out, do it. I don't want to be legalistic in any way. I just don't always enjoy it, you know. The way my mother cooked and my wife cooks and my daughter cooks, there ain't no need to go anywhere. Hallelujah. Although my mother's in heaven, she's cooking for Jesus now. Special menu, okay? Macaroni and meatballs. Even the angels are flapping their wings saying, Annette's cooking today. I don't know. I'm just having fun. Let's have confidence in God, okay? Be confident of this very thing. No confidence in the flesh. I have no confidence in the world. I have no confidence in politicians. I have no confidence in the system. No confidence in what we would call superficial organization and administration. I have confidence in God. God will put it together. Amen. God, could you save yourself? Hello? No. So we put our confidence in God. Amen. How do you build the church, Pastor Shibley? Confidence in God, right? Confidence in God to get you property. Confidence in God to pay the bills. Confidence in God for the messages. Confidence in God that when we speak to people, they hear the word of God and they're going to get saved and come. Confidence in God to make disciples. Confidence in God to give. Great offering tonight. Give. Give. Oh, you know, look at the checkbook. Give anyway. Throw the checkbook in there. I don't know. confidence in God. Hallelujah. Paul said at the end of his life, no one stood with me, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. 2 Timothy 4:17-18. Even at the end of his life, when he was alone and he was going to die, he never lost confidence in God. His assurance was God. He trusted in God. Trust in God for your personal life. Trust in God for your marriage, raising children, your relationship, whatever it may be, your single life. Trusting in God, having confidence in God, that he who began a good work in you will what? Perform it until, how long? Until the day of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you. John Mark was a mess, but then Peter got a hold of him. Peter had no confidence in God, and he was a denier. Then he got confidence in God, and he was a discipler. He went from denier to discipler. He discipled John Mark, who had no confidence in God. But when Peter discipled him, he received confidence in God. We thank you tonight. We have confidence in the person of Christ. We have confidence in his blood. We have confidence in the finished work. We have confidence in the Holy Spirit. We have confidence in the new man. We have confidence in the body of Christ. We have confidence in the gospel. We have confidence in prayers at the throne of grace. This is our confidence. Oh, we've been educated and trained to trust ourselves our whole lives by the system, the satanic system. But we've come out of that system. We've been delivered out of darkness into his marvelous light. And now we have confidence in God. Help us to grow in this confidence. We thank you tonight. If you are here, you've never received Christ as your Savior, or you're watching on the internet, put your faith in God. He saves people. He satisfied the Father's righteousness with his blood. He redeemed us with his blood. He reconciled us with his blood. You can be saved tonight. As you're watching on the internet or you're sitting here, have confidence. You can't save yourself. No church can save you. No good works. No baptism. Nothing. Have confidence in God. Say, Jesus, save me tonight. I trust you. Our eyes closed, our heads bowed. If that's you, you're here tonight, just put your hand up. Jesus, save me. I want to be born again. Confidence in God. And for us as believers, maybe in my life, I'm not really placing my confidence in God, some area. Let's just quietly stand. And let's pray together. Would you stand with me? Let's pray. And let's ask God. It's your own private prayer to God. Just lifting your hands, lifting up holy hands, and just saying, Jesus, I'm bringing this area to you. I want to have confidence in you. No confidence in the flesh. No confidence in my own ability. Confidence in you to deliver me from sin, to deliver me from wrong thinking, to deliver me from patterns and habits, to deliver me. I want to place my confidence in God. Confidence to raise my family. Confidence at work, in my place of work. Confidence in my neighborhood. Confidence with my health in God. Confidence financially. I'm placing my confidence in you. And then just watch what God will do. You watch what God will do. Place our confidence in you, and then we watch what you will do. We thank you tonight. Bless our night. We thank you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen.